if he did talk to you, would you even be able to hear it? Would you even be able to hear it? And if he did, would you be willing to listen to what he had to say? Would you be interested in what he was trying to say to you? We're quite good at making noise. You guys did an amazing job this morning, making a lot of noise. Thank you very much. We're quite good at it, aren't we? At making all that noise. But I wonder if we have a bit of a problem because we've become so good at making noise, we've forgotten how to be quiet. If you want to have a good conversation with somebody, do you put the Hoover on, start doing some DIY, turn on the telly, try and tune a radio in, and go outside on a busy street? Not usually. Not usually. You probably find somewhere where you can sit down. Perhaps you can have a cup of tea or coffee, or maybe you're doing something at the same time, like you're perhaps playing a bit of Lego or something, but it'll be quiet and you can actually hear what that person's saying and you can have a proper conversation. So why is it when it comes to hearing from God, we find it so hard to do the same thing? Anybody else find that hard? To find a quiet spot, to stop, get the noise out of your life, to get in the car and resist turning on the radio and instead actually enjoy some time with God, adults? To just stop and be quiet? It can be really tricky, can't it? Imagine if in this week coming, you found 10 minutes of actual silence just to listen to God. I wonder how you feel about silence. Is it scary?
It's just me and my thoughts and the Lord. What do I do?
Or is it amazing? Oh, it's just me and my thoughts and the Lord. This is brilliant. That story we read about Elijah, where was God? Was he in this scary wind that went whistling around the mountain and busted the rocks open? No, he wasn't, was he? Was he in the earthquake that shook the whole of the mountain? No, he wasn't. Was he in the raging fire that went round the mountain? No, he wasn't. He was in the tiny, tiny whisper asking Elijah, what are you doing here? Can I ask you a question? Do you want to hear from God? And that's to everybody. Do you want to hear from God? Yeah. I want to hear from God. I think one way that we can do that is quite a simple thing, is to find a quiet place and stop and be still and be with him. Can it really be that simple? Well, yes, actually, it can, and also that hard. I mean, even that song that we sang, you know, from all the noise and distraction, we want to try and find a place away from that can be difficult, can't it? Do you know, I used to do an assembly in the schools, which is a bit like this. And the week before, I decided to set myself the challenge of trying to find somewhere completely quiet. And where we live in Bury, there's a cathedral. I thought, brilliant. Cathedral, that's going to be quiet. You know, it's people have prayed there for literally hundreds, thousands of years. Let's go down there. It'll be a brilliant place to stop and be quiet and be with God. I got there and they were doing building work. I mean, literally, the whole place was full of banging and hammering, much louder than you managed. Drilling and everything. It's really hard. But actually, it is that simple. Because, you know, that's what Jesus used to do. He used to do it all the time. In Mark, it says, very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, he left the house, and he went to a solitary place, went on his own, and he prayed. In Luke, it says he often went off to a lonely place to be just himself and God and prayed. And later in Luke, in chapter 22, it says, Jesus went out as usual to the Mount of Olives. Which makes me think about another thing. It's actually about getting into a habit of doing that, of finding a space in our day to actually be with Jesus. Who's busy? Adults, who's busy? Yeah. Who finds that their time is, they've got a lot of demands on their time? So for us, it's all the more important that we make a plan to be with Jesus, that we make a plan to find a quiet spot, to get away from the noise and distractions and be disciplined about it. Who finds that easy? Some people do, and I envy you if you do. Well done. But it's something we have to learn, get in the habit of, and it's a discipline for us. But do you know the Bible's promise to all of us, kids and adults, is that if we seek God with all our heart, we'll find him. He wants us to spend time with him. He enjoys our company. He wants us to be with him. There's no magic formula, but sometimes what we can do is neglect the obvious stuff. And I just want to give us a quick reminder of some of the obvious things perhaps that we can do just to make time to be with Jesus and to be quiet for a short amount of time each day. Do you know, the best thing I think you can do is make some time to read the Bible. And actually, each of these things, I think God is saying something to us through them. So read your Bible. Because in giving us his word, God is saying, I've got so much to tell you. And if you want to hear from God, all of you said, yeah, I want to hear from God, open up this book and read the words in its pages. Because it's God saying, I have so much to tell you. And if you find that tricky, adults, you can get apps and reminders and emails and all sorts of things that will prompt you throughout your day. You can get them sent to your office email just before you go on lunch to remind, oh, I could just think about that whilst I'm on my lunch break, take some time with God then. You could read it with somebody if you find it hard. You can talk to somebody about the things that you've read. You could ask somebody on a Sunday, what have you read this week that's really helped and encouraged you? What's God been saying to you through his word? Let's encourage each other to do that. Kids, who can tell me where you find the Psalms in the Bible? Do you know? If I wanted to find the Psalms, what's the easiest way? Do you know? The easiest, yes, Abius? Open it up in the middle. Good lad. Open up in the middle. And the Psalms is full of all these poems and songs written to praise the Lord. Do you know what number the longest one is? A few people mumbling. Help me, adults. 119 is the longest psalm. And do you know, massive amounts of that psalm are all about how much David loves God's word. He talks about it all the time. If the Bible is God saying, I have so much to tell you, and his words in here can, to quote Psalm 119, they can keep you from sinning. They can preserve your life. They can give you strength. They can bring you salvation. They are eternal. They don't change or fade or fall into the distance or go out of style or fashion. They're a lamp and a light. They give us understanding. And in Hebrews it says that actually God's word sustains everything. So first thing is to read our Bibles. Make some time to do that. It's God saying, I have so much to tell you. You can talk to Jesus, also known as praying. And the opportunity that we have to pray is God saying, I enjoy your company. Saying, I want to be with you. I want you to talk to me, and I want to speak to you too. Now, I'm going to link into the next one, which is about worship, by getting Esther to play us a silly song. Except it's not a silly song. Is it going to work? It's called Stop What You're Doing and Pray to Jesus.
You do it. Stop what you're doing and pray to Jesus.
Stop
what you're doing and pray to Jesus.
Stop
what you're doing and pray to Jesus. Mighty, mighty Jesus. When you're laughing. Pray to Jesus when you're crying.
Oh no.
Pray to Jesus when you're bored.
Whatever.
Pray to Jesus, mighty, mighty Jesus.
Big, big.
Good, good, mighty, mighty Jesus.
Big, big.
Good, good, mighty, mighty Jesus.
Big, big.
Good, good, mighty, mighty Jesus. Mighty, mighty Jesus. When you're noisy.
What? Excuse me, what's that?
Oh, no, shh. Pray to Jesus when you're cranky.
Oh, I'm getting really cranky. I gotta count to three. One, two, three. Stop it.
Pray to Jesus when you're naughty.
Oh, no, it wasn't me. She did it.
Pray to Jesus, mighty, mighty Jesus.
A big, big.
Good, good, mighty, mighty Jesus.
Big, big.
Good, good, mighty, mighty Jesus.
Big, big.
Good, good, mighty, mighty Jesus. Mighty, mighty Jesus. When you're hurting.
Ow, that hurts.
Pray to Jesus when you're frightened.
Oh, what was that?
No, it's alright, it's only me.
Okay, phew.
Pray to Jesus when you're sleepy.
Oh, I like this one. Okay, sleepy.
Sleep. You like
Colin? I meant to do the actions. Don't go to sleep. Colin! Colin! Wake up, Colin!
Oh, we're still doing the song. Sorry.
Yes. Pray to Jesus, mighty, mighty Jesus. Go on. Stop what you're doing and pray to Jesus.
Stop what you're doing and pray to Jesus.
Stop what you're doing and pray to Jesus. Mighty, mighty Jesus. Big, big, good, good, mighty, mighty Jesus. Big, big, good, good, mighty, mighty Jesus. Big, big, good, good, mighty, mighty Jesus. Mighty, mighty Jesus. Mighty, 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 mighty Jesus.
Little assistant there. It's a great song because it reminds us, when can we pray to Jesus? Anytime. When we're naughty, when we're cranky. He's so Australian, isn't he, Colin Buchanan? Brilliant song, though. Really good. If I'm going to do an album recommendation. If you want some great songs to do with your kids, full of truth, not patronising, really fun, very Australian, but great, and enjoyable for adults as well as for kids. Colin Buchanan, I can't recommend him enough. Really excellent. And this is kind of like a bit of a greatest hits one. It's called King of the Jungle. And Isla Bella got this for her birthday, and it's been on repeat on her CD player that she also got for her birthday from Nanny. And she absolutely loves it. Amius loves it. And we had it on the car on this morning. Brilliant. Great. Oh, there's another one called Super Saviour, which Amius really likes. There are loads. But King of the Jungle is a good kind of greatest hits. So we can pray. It's Jesus saying, I enjoy your company. I want to be with you. I want to spend time with you. Whatever's going on, come and talk to me about it. And we can worship. Now, we talked about how we're trying to talk this morning about finding some quiet and not being noisy. But this is the bit where actually it's great to be noisy when you worship, isn't it? But it's a great way if we want to hear from God. Because as I said, when we came to worship this morning, there's something about the praises of God. When we make that step and we sing praise to God and we declare who he is, there's something about that that enables God to break in and speak to us. And very often you'll know if you come to this church, when we're praising and worshiping together, people will bring a word from the Lord. They'll bring a prophecy. They'll bring a word in tongues that's then interpreted. And that's because God loves the praise and worship of his people. And there's something special about that. The Holy Spirit loves that and loves to communicate with us. A very clever person called Walter Brueggemann said of worship, adults, this one's for you, it's when emotional commitment matches cognitive substance about God. Emotional commitment matches cognitive substance about God. It's like your head and your heart join up and something amazing can happen and God can break in and really communicate with us. So we've got read your Bible because it's God saying, I've so much to tell you. Talk to Jesus, pray, because it's him saying, I enjoy your company. Sing praise and worship, because it's a point at which God's able to really break in. Get out into nature. If you want to hear from God, get out into nature. It's God saying, I am massive. I am creative. I'm amazing. Look at what I made for you to enjoy. Me and Amius went outside last night. It was a clear night. There was a full moon. You could see the stars. He got his binoculars out. It wasn't quite full. It's full tonight, for those of you who want to know. But it was great. And you just look, and you look with your binoculars, and you can kind of see these pinpricks with your naked eye. But you look with your binoculars, and whoa, look at all those stars behind the stars that you can see. God is massive. Get out into nature. Enjoy it. He made it for us to enjoy, and he made it for his own praise. The Psalms tell us the heavens declare the glory of God. Day after day, they pour forth their speech in praise of him. If you want to hear from God, come to church. Well done, you're here. You won a spiritual battle this morning by stepping out the door walking or getting in your car or getting on your bike and arriving in this place. That's brilliant. Well done. Come to church because it's God saying, you're part of my family now. You're not on your own. You've got friends, you've got brothers, you've got sisters, you've got mothers, you've got fathers, people who love me too, with whom you can enjoy family. So what we got so far? Read your Bible. God saying, I've so much to tell you. Talk to Jesus. It's him saying, I enjoy your company. Sing worship because the Holy Spirit's able to break in a special way when we do. Get out into nature because it's God saying, I'm massive. Come to church because it's God saying, you're part of my family. Let other Christians speak into your life because it's also God saying, I've given you friends. You're not doing this by yourself. And if you want to hear from God, sometimes it's a great idea to talk to somebody who knows Jesus too and say, will you listen to God for me? I know that Sarah and I did that when we were thinking about what to do, whether I come and take the job here at Christ Community Church. I asked somebody who I know is prophetic. I said, will you listen to God for me? And he did, and it was amazing what happened next. I haven't got time to tell you the whole story, but you can ask me afterwards if you like. Highly recommend that. And the last thing that we can do, it's kind of an obvious thing. I wanted to do the obvious things this morning, but perhaps hopefully just remind us of these things, give a bit of a twist to them. The last thing is to take communion, to share the bread and the wine together. There's a guy in the 16th century called Richard Hooker, and he said things like communion, which you might call the sacraments, he said they're visible signs of invisible grace. Visible signs of invisible grace. Grace. If we want to hear from God, I don't think much speaks more eloquently than us sitting and enjoying communion together. Nothing speaks more eloquently than reminding us of what Jesus did for us. That's God saying, I would do anything for you. In fact, I did everything for you. I gave everything I could. I gave the very best thing. I gave my only son for you. If you want to hear from God, which many of us have said we do this morning, read your Bible. It's already saying to you, God saying, I have so much to tell you. Talk to Jesus because he's given you that opportunity, and it's him in giving you that opportunity. He's saying, I enjoy your company. Come and be with me. Sing worship songs and draw close to him. Get out into nature and let God remind you, speak to you of how big and powerful and awesome he is. Come to church and have God say to you, you're part of a family now. Let other Christians speak into your life and have God say to you, I've given you friends because you don't have to do this journey on your own. And we're actually going to come and take communion in just a moment's time, which is a reminder of God saying, I did everything for you. You see, those students in those classes, you say, oh, I wish God would talk to me. Why doesn't he say anything to me? Even in those really obvious things that I've just gone through this morning, God says a lot, doesn't he? He says a lot. He's speaking to us even through those obvious things. I believe he's got specific things he wants to say to each of us too. But I hope that's encouraged you. If you want to hear from God, do these obvious, basic things. And kids, you can do them too. If you can't read, get an adult to read the Bible to you. Anyone can pray. Anyone can sing. Anyone can go outside. Anyone can come to church. Anyone can ask another Christian to listen to God for them. And if you love Jesus and you know that he died for you, come and take communion and be reminded of all that he's done for us this morning. Sam, do you want to come and just lead us in a song? I think we're going to have communion in our seats this morning. I think the team are going to serve us, hopefully, and focus our mind on God, focus our mind on what Jesus did for us on the cross when he died for our sins. Those things that keep us separate from God, he's taken them away. And God's anger at our sin, he took it all on the cross so that we don't have to if we put our trust in him.